Okay, Freilichim Purim. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Yud Aleph. We are holding on Daf Yud Amud Beis at the two dots at the bottom of Daf Yud Amud Beis. Today's daf is all about Kemitza. It's all about the Avoda of Kemitza, and that is a Daf Yomi coincidence because the Gemara Maseches Megillah tells us that when Haman was walking through town after he had figured that he had hatched his plot to destroy the Jewish people, he saw the Chachamim were sitting in Oskin Behilchos Kemitza. He saw that they were sitting and discussing halachos of Kemitza, so he said to them, "What are you guys doing?" And they said, "Well, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, this is one of the Avodas that we do." And Haman knew that he was finished, and he said, Your kometz is going to be mevatel my 10,000 silver coins, that the power of the kemitza is going to foil all of my plans." So the fact that we discuss kemitza and exactly how it's done in today's daf, I think qualifies as a Purim Daf Yomi coincidence. So we are holding at the bottom line on Daf Yiram Beis. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah told us, "Kamatzval biyadotzror gargar melech okar levona pasul." If a person does kemitza and in his hand, not only does he pull out flour, but there's a little pebble, or there's a little cluster of salt, or a little cluster of levona, of the levona spice, so that's going to be pasul. The kemitza is going to be pasul. Rashi explains, "Mishnah kometz chaser kadei makom makoret," because that little cluster is going to that's filled in with something else, doesn't have flour and oil. So mele, it's going to be a chaser. It's not going to be the full kometz. Frekt Rashi vim tomar ketzad kometz v'alo levona ala mincha hiduchsiv kol levona asher ala mincha. Well, then how do you do kemitza? Because levona is always placed on the top of the mincha. You're always going to get levona in your kemitza. So answers Rashi, very unusual lashon for Rashi to use, tshuva ledavar. My answer is, when they do the kemitza, they move the levona off to one side of the kli, and they do the kemitza from the middle of the kli. The Brisker Rav is medayik from Rashi that there's a chiyuv to be before the kemitza to put the levona on top of the soldas and then to remove it afterwards. Because if there's no chiyuv of putting the levona al gabe the soldas before the kemitza, what's Rashi's kasha? What do you mean? You don't need the levona on the soldas. Levona could be off to the side. Elamai, you see that Rashi holds that you're supposed to cover the entire solus with Levona and then move it aside. You're not supposed to just pile it off to one side. The Taras HaKodesh quotes from the Taras Karnim, from the Medrash Taras Karnim, that even though you're supposed to put the Levona on the solus before the Kemitza, you don't have to put it along the entire solus. You could put it along one side of the solus, not like Rashi. And he said that would answer the Kasha of Rashi. How do you do the Kemitza? You take the Kemitza from the side that you didn't put the Levona on, not from the side that you did put the Levona on. So, but you see, clearly Rashi obviously doesn't hold that way. Rashi, Brisker Rav points out, Rashi must hold that you spread the Levona evenly over the entire surface area of the flour, and then you move the Levona aside in order to take the Kemitza. Okay, so says Gemara, Kalani Lamali, why does he have to give me examples of what you're going to pick up in your hand, whether it be a pebble or a little bit of salt or a little bit of Levona? And we get the idea. If you have something else in your hand besides what's supposed to be there in the kemitza, so tzricha di tanat tsrar misham dalav basakravihi. Had it only told me about a rock, I would say, yeah, pebble is not something that's basakrav. It's not something that you're ever makriv. Aval melach de basakravi emetus kasher. But salt, which is a basakrav, which is something that you are makriv on the mizbeach sometimes, so it should be kasher. Vita de melach, and had it told me melach de lo ikva bahade mincha meikara, because the salt was not part of the mincha to begin with. Aval levona de ikva bahade mincha meikara, but the levona, which is a critical part of the carbon mincha to begin with, emetus kasher. I might think that should be kasher. Of course, the obvious question you could ask is, why don't you just tell me Levona, and then I would know, because Levona is Ikva Bahade, so, and then you can go backwards, but unclear why it doesn't do that, but that's the Trichusa that the Gemara makes. Now, the Achronim also emphasize this line of the Gemara where it says, Melach de Bas HaKravahi, that salt is a Bas HaKravah. How do I know salt is a Bas HaKravah? In Parshas Vayikra, Pasuk says, V'kol Karbon Min Chascha V'melach Timlach V'lo Tashbis Melach Brisa that you're supposed to have melech on every carbon, you're supposed to have salt in every carbon. So the Brisker Rav points out, l'chora, the din of melicha on carbonos is that when you have a chiyuv to do melicha on that which you're supposed to burn, and to burn the, and it is that there's a chiyuv to do melicha on that which you're supposed to burn and then burn them. But on the melech itself, l'chora, there's not a din haktara. There's no mitzvah of burning the melech. There's a mitzvah to do melicha on on that which requires haktara. So how could the Gemara say melech is a bas hakravahi? It's not that the melech is a bas hakrava. That which you are doing melicha on is a bas hakrava. So says Brisk Rav. No, obviously you see that it's not that way. You see that on the melech itself there is a chiyuv haktara. That the chiyuv haktara is not only on the, let's say, the avarim of the animal that you happen to have done melicha on. The chiyuv of haktara is on the melech itself. And with that, the Brisk Rav explains a lot. He says that first of all, it appears that way from Rashi later on in Daf Chaf Aleph, where the Gemara says that Rashi says that the Eiver together with the Melech are Kruyin Ola. It's called an Ola. Together with the Melech, meaning the Melech is part of the Karban Ola. It's part of what needs to be Nikdar. And with that, the Brisker Rav explains the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kuf Ches, that Melech that falls from the Karban, Mitzvah La'asuke. You have a mitzvah to put it back. Why don't you just bring new Melech? Why is it Mitzvah La'asuke? Why do you put that Melech back on? So it must be because on that Melech, there's already a Chiyuv of Haktara. And the Melech itself has its own Chiyuv Haktara. The Rav Yisrael Meltzer has a slightly different understanding, but a similar idea in Hilchos Yisur Mizbeach Perakei Alach Yiralf Oz Dalin, the Evan Azel, Rav Yisur Zalman writes that Be'emes Melichas HaKarbanos has Tzvei Dinim. There are two Dinim in Melichas HaKarbanos. Number one, that you have to be makriv a carbon in a way that it shouldn't be bland, that it shouldn't be unsalted, and that's a din, not on the salt itself, that's a din on the carbon, and that's learned from the words V'kol Karban Minchascha B'melech Timlach, that you have to be, you have to do malicha on the carbon itself, a din in the carbon. But Beis, he says, second din, you also need to be makriv melech biyachad in makravas and nektarin. You have to be makriv the melech together with that which you are being makriv. And that's learned from the phrase takriv melech. So similar to the Brisker Rav, he just reads it into the psukim. So says the Brisker Rav, it turns out, according to this, if the melech falls off of that which is niktar, and you were maktir the item without the melech that fell off of it, you're still supposed to be maktir the melech alone. Because the melech itself, the salt itself, has a din haktara. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Mipnei shamar hakometz hacheser or yeser pasul. So he said that if you take a kmitza and the kmitza is either lacking or it's too big, then it's going to be pasul. So and that's why if you have anything stuck in there, a pebble, a cluster of salt, anything like that, levona, that's why the kmitza is not going to be good. So ma'iri mishum cheser v'yeser, typically mishum chatzitza. Why is it only about cheser v'yeser? Shouldn't it be a problem anyway if you have something else stuck in there? Isn't that going to be a problem of chatzitza when you have something stuck in there? So that's the kasha. The Sfas Emes and a lot of the other achronim point out a big yesod in Hilchos Chatzitza from this kasha of the Gemara. We mentioned yesterday the Gemara in Sukkah and Dav Vav tells us that the din of chatzitza is that mida oraisa rubo makpidal of chotzeitz. On a daraisa level, let's say a woman goes to the mikvah, the only way she could have a chatzitza mida oraisa is if she goes in full scuba gear. She has a chatzitza that covers the majority of her body, and it's something that she's makbid on that she doesn't always want there. On a daraisa level, that's the only way you could have a chatzitza. Midrabanan gazru al miyut hamakbid val rubo sheino makbid. There were gozer on something that covers even a minority of the body, as long as it's something that she doesn't want there, which is all of our chatzitza shailas. Or even on a rove of the body, but she's never makbid about it. She always wants it there, which never comes up. But those are chatzitzos midrabanan. But on a daraisa level, you need rubo umakbid to be a chatzitza. So frekvis vasemes. What kind of question is this? That it's a chatzitza because you have a little pebble in there? Who said the pebble covers the majority of the kmitza? Sounds like a tiny little pebble. So on a daraisa level, this is not a chatzitza at all. If anything, it's a drabanan chatzitza. So what are we talking about? So vasemes says, you see, you sold from here. This whole din of rubo makbid, miyut sheino makbid, that whole set of halachos is only by tevila. It's only by going to a mikvah. Anywhere else where you have dinam of chatzitza, that whole set of halachos doesn't apply. So, for instance, over here, the Gemara is assuming that chatzitza would be a d'oraisa problem if you have a little pebble in your kmitza from the Karban Mincha. It's not rubo or makbid. It's not rubo makbid. It's maybe makbid, but it's certainly not rubo. No, still, that's the halacha. The halacha is that rubo makbid is only a din when it comes to tevila. Rav Elchanan has a famous kasha in Kovei Tzaaros in the Hosafos, in the back of the Kovei Tzaaros Siman Dalet. He asks a famous kasha. He says, how can you ever have a drabanan that's rubo she'eno makbid? that covers the majority, but you're not makbid on it. He says, by definition, if it's going to be chatzitza midrabanan, doesn't that make you makbid on it? You don't want chatzitzos midrabanan, and therefore, shouldn't that automatically turn into a chatzitza midaraisa? The fact that the Chacham declare it's going to be a chatzitza midrabanan, doesn't that immediately turn into a chatzitza midaraisa? So the Rav Chanan gives the obvious answer. The answer is that the definition of what's called makbid and what's called eno makbid is not determined based on halacha, what the halacha says is going to be good for you or bad for you. It's determined based on what you like and what you don't like, what you want and what you don't want. Very similar to psik reshe de nichle, psik reshe de lo nichle on Shabbos. How do I determine what's nichle, what's lo nichle? I would say, if I accidentally leave the light on in my refrigerator, so it's a psik reshe de lo nichle when I open up the fridge door and the light's going to go on, because I don't want to be mechal Shabbos, I don't want the light to go on, I don't want to be mechal Shabbos. So says Rav Chanan, no, that's obviously a psik reshe de nichle, because had it not been Shabbos, taking away all halacha considerations, obviously you'd prefer the light to be on. And that's the way we judge these things. Makbid as well. It's judged based on, not at the end of the day, now that halacha tells me what to be happy about and what not to be happy about, am I happy or not? No, it's based on, would you otherwise be happy about it? Absent halacha, would one be happy about it? So that's the issue of Rubo Makbid, Miyachayna Makbid. Anyway, so the Gemara's Kasha is, so new, isn't it a chatzitza anyway? So why do we have to say it's an issue of Cheser V'Yeser? So Rabbi Yirmiyahu Atzad. No, maybe it's not a chatzitza because maybe the pebble's all the way off to the side. So it's not actually being chotzeit between any of the other flowers. It's all the way at the edge of the kemitza. Amle Abaye l'Rava, so frekt Abaye to Rava, ketzar komtzin, how do you go ahead and do kemitza? Amrle kitakamtzi inshi. He says, you know, like people take a handful of something, that's how you do kemitza. That's what kitakamtzi inshi means, meaning a handful with all your fingers. That's what a kemitza is. So Esve, he says, what are you talking about? We know that when Chazal lists off, the Gemara in Ksuba Staf Hey lists off the functions of the five fingers. So it says, Zu Zeres, the pinky finger is the Zeres. Zu kemitza, the ring finger is called the kemitza. Now, why is it called the kemitza? It's called the kemitza because that's the last finger in the kemitza. It sounds like you're not taking a full handful. Why is it? Because the second finger is called the kemitza. Zu ama, the middle finger is called the ama, and the reason for that is because the ama is measured from a person's elbow to the top of his middle finger. That's the size of an ama. Zu etzba, the pointer is called the etzba, and zu godel, and the thumb is called the godel. And the Gemara goes through over there in Ksuvis what each finger's halachic function, that every finger has some halachic function to it. And the Gemara explains that the miracle of the human body, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the human body, is that we are a halachic entity. That everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu did has a reason that allows us to do some sort of mitzvah. And the Gemara says, why is it that our fingers, that our fingertips are rounded? Why aren't they pointy? Pointy fingertips would be so much easier to pick things up with. You could just stick your finger into something. Why do we have rounded fingertips? So the Gemara says, this way, if you're going to hear something that's inappropriate, that you're not supposed to hear, you could fit your finger perfectly into your ear, and it's not going to bust your eardrum, and you'll be able to stop hearing things that you shouldn't hear. So that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu made it that way. The Gemara goes through a series of... that's the discussion of the Gemara in Ksuvis. But bottom line is, you see that kemitza is not a full handful. Kemitza is less than a full handful because the second finger is called the komets. So says Gemara, ela lahashvos. So no, the idea is to even it out. That if the kemach comes out a little bit underneath the komets, you would use the pinky finger to even it out, to take off whatever little bit of flour sticks out under lower than your ring finger. Now, unbelievable daf yomi coincidence. If you look at the Rashi, zu ama. So what's ama? Mi menu molded in kol amos habinyan. It's from that they measured all the amos habinyan, all the amos in terms of building the Beis Hamikdash, va'kelim, and also in terms of the kelim. Lefishi arucha mikulan, because it is the longest finger. So that's how we measure from the elbow to the top of the longest finger on an average person is the size of an amo of an ama. But they actually had ama measuring sticks. They didn't just keep on looking for average sized people whenever they needed to measure something. They had amma measuring sticks in the Beis Hamikdash. Vishtei amos hayu b'shushan habira, and they had two amos in Shushan habira. Says Rashi, what's Shushan habira? Was the name of a room in the Beis Hamikdash, but Shushan Abiru, what are the chances? On Purim's daf, Shushan Abiru comes up. So, Shtei Makolo Shein Amma, these were two sticks that were each Amma. That's a real daf Yomi coincidence. I'm not stretching it. Come on. That's a Shushan Abiru. That doesn't happen every day. So Shtei Makolo Shein Amma, Behen Modin Amma Sabinyan, they had these two sticks that were each an Amma, and with that they were able to measure the Amma Sabinyan. That's the beauty of Torah right there. So, says Gemara, hey, anything can come up anywhere. Says Gemara, hey, Chiyavit. So what do they do? How do you do the kmitza? Let's discuss how kmitza is actually done. Actually, before that, Zugodel Kedei LaHashvos Tosfos Maseches Ksuvos and Daf Hey points out that when you are mochek begodlo as hakometz ayeser, when you wipe off with your thumb the extra kmitza, you're supposed to do it with your right hand and not with your left hand, because it's navoda and ain navoda ela biyamin. So when you wipe off whatever's sticking out of the kmitza, you got to do it with the finger that's on your right hand, which you took the kmitza in. So that's what the Brisk Rav says. You should do the mechika when your hand is still inside the kli, because afterwards it's not going to help anymore, since we're talking about the avoda of the kmitza itself. So this is part of the kmitza. The being mochek is part of the kmitza, so it should be done while your hand is still inside of the kli shares. Okay, let's see the Gemara Vayitzer. Hey Chiyavid, how would you do kmitza? Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Amar Rav Chofesh Shalosh Etzpaosav Ad Shemegi Al Pasiado. You would bend over the three middle fingers of your hand until it covers your palm, the komets, and you would take the kmitza. Tanya Namiyachi, we have a brisa that supports this. Melo kumtza, the pasuk says. Yachal mavurat, so I might think it could be an overflowing komets, that some of the mincha could be sticking out of either end, past your pointer or past your ring finger. Tamalomar, bekomtso. That's why it says bekomtso. I bekomtso yachal berashi etzbaosav. If it's bekomtso, I might have thought to only use your fingers to pick up, meaning not to bend your fingers over the palm of your hand, but to bend your fingers over itself, just to crunch up your fingers like that, and take the kmitza just like that, as opposed to bending it over the palm of your hand. So tamalomar, that's why the pasuk says, melo kumtso. Hakeitzad, so how do you do this? Chofesh sholosh etzbaosav al pas yado. You bend over the three fingers on the palm of your hand, the komets, and then you take the kmitza. B'machvas u'b'marcheshes, pasuk says you could bring karm mincha in a machvas or marcheshes. What does it mean, machvas or marcheshes? Those are pans that they would bake the actual mincha in. So we think of kmitza, okay, it's flour, it's oil. No, it's bread. They're taking kmitza from already baked bread. Well, how do you manage that? If you look at Rashi, demaseyin afuyin, adam lekaman perkei lemenachos ngmatzos, dela achrashin afuyin post son v'komets. After they're already baked, you crumble them up and take a kmitza. Hilkach iev shal post son dakos kolkach. How much can you crumble them already? It's already been baked. Ukshu komitz yotzos chutz lekomtzo, it should be, the sheet changes the two. And therefore, when you take the kmitza, by definition, you're not going to get exactly three fingers full. There's always going to be something sticking out. This is already baked bread. Hilkach mochik begodl milmalbe espokatana milamata. So that's what the Gemara goes on to say at the end of the first white line. Mochik begodl milmalbe espokatana milamata. That's why you need to rub off with your thumb and with your pinky, because there are going to be parts that are sticking out because it's already baked bread. Vizui avoda kasha shemimigdash. And that is the most difficult avoda in the in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Chasdei David writes that the reason kmitza is an avoda kasha, the way the Gemara explains it, is because the Gemara is assuming misayeya yesh bo mamish, that you have to do everything with the right hand. And if you were to do something if you were to help along the kmitza by doing something with the left hand, like being mashva with the left hand, just rubbing it off with your left hand like that, that wouldn't be very hard. But if you assume misayeya yesh bo mamish, so the left hand being misayeya is a problem, you're not allowed to do that. But if you're going to assume misayeya ein bo mamish, that the ikar is just the kmitza itself, and whatever your misayeya with the left hand is not a problem, so then kmitza is not really very difficult. You take the kmitza and then you rub off with your left hand. It should be totally fine. But says the Chasdei David, that's why the Rambam leaves out this idea that kmitza is avodah kasha, because the Rambam holds that misayeya Ein bo mamish, and therefore you're allowed to use your left hand. The Ram l'shitaso, he holds Messiah ein bo mamish, and therefore you're allowed to use your left hand. Memela, kmitza is not hard. It's only hard when you need to be mochik begodlo milamala and betzbo katana milamata. That's what makes it an avodah kasha shebemikdash. So the reason it's difficult, what's so hard about rubbing your fingers? The reason it's difficult is that when you rub your fingers on something that's already baked, you're likely to take away from the inside also. Meaning if you pull off the piece that's on the top, you're likely the whole piece will come out and you'll be missing from the actual size of the kmitza when you do that. If you could use another hand so you can sort of like break it with your other hand, it's a little easier to do it with your other hand. That's Tosa points out. L'man yom perkei l'menachah shemachzun l'sultan eino kashi yosem yimin chasolas. Says Tosa, you know, this idea that it's very hard, that must be assuming that they don't, after they bake it, crumble it up back into a flour. But if they crumble it up back into a flour, then it shouldn't be that difficult. Any more difficult than doing a kmitza and solas. It's not just the minchas machmas and marcheshes. That would be difficult. Must be assuming that you break it into pretty large pieces, to two pieces, four pieces, that's how the kmitza is done. If that's the way the breaking it up is done, so then you can understand that it's difficult because you have large chunks in your hand. The Achronim Ramadaik, that Rashi doesn't assume like Tosfos. Rashi assumes that even if you break it up into a flour, into very small pieces, it's never going to be a fine flour. It's still going to have chunks in there, and still, therefore, going to be difficult to do the kmitza. So anyway, says Gemara, that's the avodah kasha in the Mikdash. Zehu v'sulo, just that, there's nothing else that's equally difficult. Ve'ika malika, ve'ika chafina, there's the malika, which we described, the malika of the oaf, which seems extremely challenging to hold the bird in one hand, and at the same time, use your thumb to do the malika. And what about chafina, which is something done in the avodah of Yom Kippurim? It was a way that they would take the ketores, the melakomets of ketores. That was also very challenging. El zui achas mi avodas kasha shabimikdash. We have to say is not that this is the avodah kasha shabimikdash. This is one of the avodas kasha shabimikdash. This is one of the most challenging avodas in the mikdash. Amar of Papa, pshitali, melo kumtso kidikamsi inshi. He says, one thing is pasha to me, that when we say melo kumtso, it means kidikamsi inshi. Meaning, now we're not talking about, like we used the term kidikamsi inshi before, which meant you take a full handful. Now what we're saying is, kidikamsi inshi means that the way you would generally take a handful, the position you would hold your hand, that's when you dip it into the flour, that's what melo kumtso means. As Rashi explains on the third wide line, machnis tzidei etzba osavado. You're doing karate chops. Stick your hand in sideways. You put it in sideways and then take out the kmitza that way. So that's pashut, that's okay. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, boy Rav Papa, kamatz berashay etzba'os of mai. What if you adjust your hand slightly and, as Rashi explains, hichnis rashay etzba'os of bekemach upas yado klape kemach. You have your palm facing down toward the flower, v'komatz melokamtzo ad pas yado, and you just take with your hand facing down, with your palm facing down, and take out the handful that way. What's the din? Or min hat studin mai. What's min hat studin? So Rashi says, shenasim gav yado ala kemach, volch yado at shenichnas hakemach derech sido l'toch yado. You have the back of your hand facing the flour, and you press the back of your hand down on the flour until the flour comes over the sides of your hands, and you take the kmitza that way. Is that okay? Mata lemalamai. What if you do from bottom to top? Bottom to top would mean that you stick your hand in with your fingers facing down and you stick it in that way. So is that going to be okay? Teku. The Gemara says, okay, we don't have an answer to any of these things. That's a teku. So the safe way to do kmitza is kidikamsi inshi. Put your hand in sideways like a karate chop and then you take the kmitza that way. So Amar Rav Papa, pshitali melo chafnav kidikhafni inshi. When it talks about taking the melo chafnav of ktoris on Yom HaKippurim, so the ktoris samdaka, so that's kidikhafni inshi. That you put the sides of your hand in. So by Rav Papa, chafan barashi etzbaos of mahu, same shilas. What if you do rashi etzbaos of menat stud in mahu? Chafan bazu v'kirvan zuei tzalzu mahu. What if you do with two hands and you bring them together? What's the din? Teku, so the Gemara leaves them all unresolved. By Rav Papa, dafke lekometz bedafne demana mai. What if after you take the kmitza, now we're past having taken the kmitza, you have the kmitza in your hand, let's assume you did it the right way, and then instead of dropping it into a kli sharis, like you're supposed to do, you stick it onto the walls of the kli sharis, so it never falls into the bottom of the kli. You have to realize it's flour and oil, so it's sticky. So you're able to stick it onto the walls of the kli sharis. So what's the din? Toch kli b'inan v'iko, all you need is it to be in the kli, and it is in the kli. Odilma hanacha b'tocha b'inan v'lekor. Maybe you need a hanacha into the kli, and you don't have a hanacha into the kli over here, because a hanacha would imply that you're placing it at the in the bottom of the kli. So is that a valid placement of the kmitza, or is it not a valid placement of the kmitza? Gemara leaves it teku, again unresolved. Machlokas Rishonim in the Safek of Rav Papa and Mar Bar Ravashi. The Rashi explains the Safek is in regards to the Kiddush HaKometz. Is it Efshar, is it possible to be Mekadish the Kometz by attaching the Kmitza onto the Dofen HaKli, or by putting it into the Shulei Kli, which we'll get to that Safek in a second. The Rambam, however, understands that it's not about the Kiddush HaKometz, it's about the Avodas HaKmitza. Can you be Kometz from flour that is on the Dofen HaKli? Or do you have to take from the center of the Kli? But let's stick with Rashi. Boy Marbar Ravashi, Havche Lemana V'davke LeKometz Bar Isa Demana Mai. What if you turn the Kli upside down and you stick the Kometz onto the kli is upside down, but you stick the kometz onto the floor of the kli. The way Rashi understands this is that the kli has a base kibul on the back also. That when you turn it upside down, the part that's facing up is also a little bit of a base kibul. It has rims that go around that end also. So maybe that counts as a base kibul of the kli itself. The way most understand it, the Shittim Gvetzis understands it, I would imagine, but the way I understood it when I first read it, is that no, you have the kli upside down, and it's so sticky, you're able to stick it inside the kli up against the bottom of the kli, which is now the top of the kli because it's upside down, and it's defying gravity, right? It's sticking up to the bottom of the kli. But anyway, is that going to be okay? So what's the issue? Hanach b'tocho b'inan ve'ika. Do you need hanach b'tocho and you have that? Or dilma k'tikno b'inan v'leko. Or maybe you need it in the normal way, and that is certainly not the normal way because you have it upside down. The achronim prove from our Gemara that a kometz is not miskadesh al yidei avira kli. That you can't, the kmitza in the avira kli doesn't help. The kmitza only becomes, you're only mekadesh the kometz when you have hanacha on the surface of the kli itself. That we're assuming you for sure need. Just being in the airspace of the kli is not enough. That's the whole assumption of our entire Gemara. The challenge is, though, that Rashi in Zvachim and Daf Chaf Heyamid Beis assumed pashut that when it comes to Kabbalah Sadam, as soon as the dam goes into the avir of the kli, it's as if the Kabbalah Sadam was already done. So why the discrepancy? Why by Kabbalah Sadam do we assume going into the avir of the kli is good enough, and yet when it comes to kmitza, we assume the avir of the kli is definitely not good enough? It has to be attached onto the kli. So the Achronim give a variety of answers. The Or Sameach in his Chuvus of Chuvus Rabbeinu Meir Simcha Simon and Beis suggests that there's a big difference between Kabbalah Sadam and Kiddush Kometz, because the dam is a liquid, so it's bamei elav into the kli. Meaning, as soon as it goes into the airspace of the kli, there's nowhere for it to go other than for it to drip down. And there's no din of a maisa hanacha. There's no placement. Once it's in the kli, that's where it goes. So that's why, as soon as it goes into the avir of the kli, that's considered a valid hanacha. As opposed to the Kiddush Kometz, where the kometz doesn't necessarily land in one spot of the kli. It's that you're dealing with a solid. So therefore, there's a din hanacha by a kmitza. So the Kohen who does the kmitza has to do a hanacha of the kometz b'kli. And therefore, calls man that he wasn't meniach, that he didn't do a hanacha of the kometz in the kli, it's not going to be miskadesh. That is the Or Sameach. Other achronim give other terutzim, but I guess we can, next time around, 7.5 years, we'll get to that. Okay, so bli neder. So says the Gemara Vayter. I guess it says the Mishnah, new Mishnah. Okay, Ketzad hu osa. What do you do? Poshit esposav al pas yado. To do the kmitza, you stick your fingers over the palm of your hand. Rashi writes, the Shinuk Betzis writes in Ozayin, Tevos Ketzad hu osa. Poshit esposav al pas yado nimchak. That first line of the Mishnah doesn't belong here. We just discussed that. We just got through with that. So why would we repeat it again? Riba shmana chaser shmana chiser levonasa psula. If you have too much oil, too little oil, or the oil was missing, you were missing some of the oil, or you were missing some of the levona, then it's going to be pasul. Good, that's what the Mishnah says. Now, says the Gemara, Heichi dami riba shmana. How do you have too much oil? Amar Blazar, Kon shehifrish la shnei lugin. You set aside two lug of oil. You mafrish l'shem this carbon mincha, two lug of oil, and you mixed in two lug of oil with the mincha. That's too much. And the Gemara's assumption at this point is that anything less than two lug is not too much. Even though you're only supposed to have one lug, one and a half is also okay. Only when you hit two, that's considered too much. Why do you have to say that's the case of riba shmana? Why don't you just say the case is that you put in some chulin oil, or you put in some oil that was set aside for another carbon? Why does it have to be that you set aside two lug of oil for this carbon? Unless you say for a moment that some additional chulin oil or some additional oil from another carbon is not going to passel, well, then where? How could it ever be that shemen is going to passel a minchas chote? Idida halesla. It can't be its own oil because a minchas chote doesn't have any of its own oil. Remember, that's what Rabbi Shimon kept on saying. That really we wish the minchas chote had oil and levona so that the lo yechote niskar. Elamai, we don't want him to have a muhudr carbon, so he doesn't have oil. So it can't be its own oil that passels it, and neither chulin the chavir to harm it l'passel. But if you're going to tie into that oil of chulin or oil of another carbon doesn't passel it, so then you'll never have a case where a minchas chote will have oil that will passel it. So it must be that oil the chaverta or oil that's chulin will passel it. So why is it that when coming up with a case of riba shmana, Rabbi Eliezer held that it's you mafresh shnei lugin for this carbon? Maybe it means that you had one lug for this carbon and then you brought in a little extra oil of chulin, a little extra oil to chavirta. Why do we have to give the case where you mafresh shnei lugin? So Rabbi Eliezer, let me buy you cover. Rabbi Eliezer would say, no, they're both examples of too much oil that are going to passel it. But he was just saying, let me buy you the chulin, the chavirta, the passel. Obviously, Rabbi Eliezer would hold, if you have chulin oil, you have oil from another carbon, that's going to passel it. Avol hifrish l'shnei lugin hol v'haychazilei emel alifsel. But if you have two lugin of oil, I might think since each one is ra'ui to be used for the carbon, each one on its own could have been the right lug of oil. They were both perfectly viable, so maybe having both of them is not going to passel. Kamash malan, by its sheer quantity, it passels, even though each lug of oil on its own would have been good enough. Umanale l'Rabbi Eliezer, ha? How does Rabbi Eliezer know this? Know what? So says Rashi at the bottom. Tafilu refrish l'shman pasul m'irvuima. That even though you designated two lug of oil, dafka l'shem this carbon, that it's still going to be pasul because it's too much oil. Amarava masnisim kashise. He was bothered by the lush on the Mishnayis. My ir yedetani riba shmana. Listen, riba la shemen. Why does it say that you were marba its oil? Just say you were marba oil, too much oil. Must be telling me a chiddush that even that you were mafresh la for it. That's why it's shmana. It's its oil shnei lugin, and that's still going to passel. So the Gemara is now going to discuss the line in the Mishnah, the last line in the Mishnah, where it says that if you're missing from the Lavona, you have less than the proper amount of Lavona, it's going to be puzzle. One important thing to realize going into the sugya, because the Gemara is going to keep on comparing these three issues, is there are three ways to be makriv lavona on the mizbeach. There are three possibilities of how lavona ends up being hukrav on the mizbeach. Number one is if you bring a mincha, you're supposed to bring lavona with it. Menefesh ki sakriv karban mincha la Hashem, solas yer karbanov yatzaka la Hashem, en v'nasana leha lavona. Says in the Torah, you bring Karban Mincha, Lavona goes on the Karban Mincha. So together with the rest of the Karban Mincha, the Lavona gets burnt on the Mizbeach. Number two, a person could be Misnadev Lavona on its own. Just to say, take a nedava that he's gonna volunteer to bring Lavona. And that's what the mission is to say. Ha'omer harei alai Lavona le'ivchos mikometz. When you say that you want to give Lavona, you have to give at least a kemitza of Lavona. And number three, by the way, by a mincha also, you need a kemitza of Lavona in the kli together with the flour. And the third type of Lavona is by lechem apanim. In addition to the 12 chalos that you have by the lechem apanim, like we've been discussing a lot in this mesechta, there were shnei vazichei Lavona. There were two big spoons of Lavona that were also on the Shulchan. And that's the Shnei Vazichei Lavona were Shnei Kumtzei Lavona, two comets. Each one is a comet of Lavona. So anyway, so says Gemara. So those are the three situations where Lavona ends up on the Mizbeach. Tan Rabbanan. Chasav Yom Dal Karat Echad Psula. Let's say you're missing from the Lavona, but you still have a Karat Echad. You still have a little bit of Lavona left. So that's going to be Pasul. Al Shnei Karatin, Ksheira Divra Rabbi Yehuda. But if you still have two Karatin left, so that's a little bit more, that's going to be Kasher according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Al Karat Echad Ksheira, Pachs Mikam Psula. Rabbi Shimon is more makely. He says, even if you only have one Karat left, that's going to be Kasher. Less than that is going to be Pasul. Mikdash David asks, wait a second, how can you be Maktir only a Karat of Lavona? There's a machlokas in the Gemara where there's ever such a thing as a haktara pachos mikazayas. A Karat is less than a kazayas. So if you hold like that shita in the Gemara later on in the Chavava Midbeis, that there's no such thing as haktara pachos mikazayas. How are you ever maktir a Karat of Lavona according to Rabbi Shimon? So the Mikdash David explains that you have to be mitzarif it together with the haktara sakomet. You have to burn it together with the kmitza that you took. Or you could say since the karet is a shir aktara that you need for a mincha, so you could have aktara even pachas mikazayis, because that's what you need. That's all you need. That's the shir for this karban. Anyway, says Gemara v'atanya kamatz. Kometz ulevona shechaser kol shu pasul. Aye, but didn't we say that a kometz ulevona that's missing even kol shu who is pasul? How can you say that as long as you still have a karet left, it's okay? So two answers. Number one, tani karet levona shechaser kol shu pasul. It should say a karet of levona that's missing kol shu, meaning it's down to less than a karet, and that's when it's pasul. V'ibay say mekan belevona abba ema mincha kan belevona abba b'fnei atzma. There's a difference between levona that's brought together with the mincha and levona that's brought by itself. If it's missing at the shas haktar, it's kasher. According to Rabbi Shimon, that's Lavona with the Mincha. When it says Chaser Kol Shu Pasul, it's talking about Lavona that's brought on its own. Am Rabbi Yisrael Yosef Am Rabbi Yochanan. Three statements of Rabbi Yisrael Yosef Am Rabbi Yochanan. One general, then two qualifications. Gimel Machlokas B'davar. He says, first of all, there are three shitos over here. Rabbi Meir Sover Kometz B'tchila V'Kometz B'sof. Rabbi Meir holds both B'tchila and B'sof. You need a Kometz. What's B'tchila? B'tchila is when you take the Kemitza, you need in the Kli a Kometz of Lavona. That everyone agrees to. That at the time you take the Kemitza, a Kometz of Lavona needs to be in the Kli. What does B'sof mean? It means at the time that you're Makter the Lavona, it still has to be a kmitza of Lavona. Rabbi Yehuda Sover, Kometz B'tchila V'Shnei Kratim B'sof. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. When you originally take the kmitza, yeah, it needs to be a kometz of Lavona. The kmitza you're taking is the flour, but the Lavona that's in the kli still has to be a kmitza's worth of Lavona, but at the time that you're being maktir the Lavona, it only needs to be Shnei Kratim. Rabbi Shimon Sover, Kometz B'tchila V'Karet Echad B'sof. No, by the time you're maktir the Lavona, you only need one karet left. Ushlashan Mikra Echad Darshu. They all three darshan the same pasuk. V'eskala Lavona Asher Ala Mincha, the pasuk says. Rameir Sover, that at the time that you makter it, you need all the Lavona that was on the Mincha initially. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Kol Vafilu Chad Karet. Kol means anything, even if you just have one Karet left. S l'rabos karet acher, and S comes to be marva a second karet, so that's why you need two karetos left at the time that you're makt here. Rabbi Shimon S l'darish, and Rabbi Shimon doesn't darshin S. Right, there's a famous sugya comes up several times in Shas about darshining S. Rabbi Shimon atimni etc. Okay, not for now. Vam Rabbi Yisrael Bar Yosef Vam Rabbi Yochanan. Second statement of Rabbi Yisrael Bar Yosef Vam Rabbi Yochanan. Machlokas b'levona abayim amincha. The whole machlokas is what kind of levona. Remember, we said there are three types of levonas, three ways a levona could end up. Lavona can end up on the Mizbeach. When do we have this three-way machlokas? That's by Lavona that's brought together with the Mincha. Aval b'Lavona, abav b'fnei atzma, but when you bring Lavona just as Lavona, divrei kol kometz b'tchila v'kometz b'sof, everyone would say you need a kometz b'tchila and a kometz b'sof. And that's why it says Asher al mincha, that dafka when it's part of a karban mincha, that's when we have these machloksim about the exact shear that you need at the time of the Akhtar Salavona. But when you're bringing Lavona on its own, everyone would hold you can only bring a kmitza of Lavona. Any less than a kmitza of Lavona is no good. Third statement of Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan. Ram Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan. Machlokas b'Lavona haba'a ima mincha. Aval b'Lavona haba'a b'vazichin. Right, remember the third way Lavona can go on the Mizbeach is Lavona that comes from the bazichin on the shulchan with the lechem upon him. So in that situation, divrei hakol shnei kematzin batchila u'shnei kematzin basof. Then everyone would agree you need two kometzes of levona, both batchila when you initially pull it off of the shulchan, which is the equivalent of doing the kmitza, and basof when you're actually makdir those levonas. There can't be chaser anything. So says Mar Pshita, isn't that obvious? No, ma'al detema kibin debali lechem asya kashera al hamin chadamya. I might have thought that meaning what is it more similar to? When you take the bezichei levona, is that more similar to a case where you took a kmitza out of a carbon mincha, or is it more similar to a case of bringing levona bifnei atzma? So the Gemara says, pshita, it's more similar to a case of bringing levona bifnei atzma, where it can't be chas or anything, because the levona is separate, it's in its own separate kli, it's its own unit. So of course it's like taking a levona bifnei atzma, so of course it can't be chas or anything. Says the Gemara, no, we view the taking of the vazichin off of the shulchan as a kmitza on a carbon mincha. And that we've had several times already through this Masechta. So I might have thought that therefore it could even become chaser a little bit later on. Come Ashbulan, that it can't be. So there is a machlokas amaroim about this exact issue. One says that everyone would agree by kometz habal b'fnei atzma, by levona that comes on its own, that's not part of a carbon mincha, then it needs to be the full kmitza even basov. And the other one says, no, just like you have a machlokas by levona that comes as part of a carbon mincha, you also have a machlokas by levona that comes on its own. That same machlokas about how much levona needs to be left at the time of haktara, so that same machlokas would exist even on levona haba b'fnei atzma. If you look in the Rambam, Psulei Mekdashin, Parakir Aleph, Halacha Ches, it sounds that his definition of b'tchila is very different than the definition of b'tchila that we've been working with. We've been assuming b'tchila is at the time of the kmitza. The Rambam makes it sound like b'tchila means lichatchila. We don't have time to go into it now, but that's just a ha'ara, whole different understanding of the Gemara. Chisa levona sapsula. So we said if the levona is chaser, so it's going to be pasul. So ha'yasir ksheira. Sounds like if it's more, if there's too much levona, it's kasher. V'atani yasapsula, but we have a brisa that says otherwise. So three statements of Rami Bar Chama. Number one, Amir Rami Bar Chama, kigon shifrish l'shnei kmatzin. We're talking about where you mafrish two kmatzin initially for that carbon. That's why it's gonna passel, because it's more, it's way too much. It's not just a little bit over, it's two full kamatzin. If it was one and a half, okay, that wouldn't be passel. Statement number two of Rami Barcham. If you were mafresh shnei kamatzin and one of them got lost before you ever got to do the kamitza, so you set aside two kamatzin of the levona, and one of them got lost before you ever got to do the kamitza, so that was not nikva as part of that carbon mincha, and therefore everything is going to be fine. It's going to be it's going to be kosher. But achar kmitza, if it got lost only after you did the kmitza, hukvu was nikva as part of that carbon, and therefore it's going to be pasul. V'amar Rami Bar Chama, third statement of Rami Bar Chama, hifrish arba'a kamatzin l'shnei vazichin. Let's say you set aside four kamatzin for the two vazichin that you have together with the lechem apanim. V'avdu shnayimen, and two of those kamatzin got lost. Kodem silik vazichin lo hukvu. So again, if they got lost before you do the silik vazichin, and we keep on saying silik vazichin by the lechem apanim is the exact parallel to kmitza by a regular carbon mincha. So if it got lost before you did the silik vazichin, lo hukvu. So then it was not hukva as part of the carbon, mela, it's going to be okay. La'achar silik vazichin, but if they got lost after you did the silik vazichin, which is the equivalent of after doing the kmitza, hukvu, then it becomes part of the carbon, it's going to be pasul. So frekling marasu lamali hainu hach, isn't that the exact same case? You talk about a kmitza that's part of a carbon mincha, the kometz of levona, part of the carbon mincha, or the shnei kumtzim that are part of the lechem apanim, isn't it exactly the same case? So ma'al detema kiven de barir kometz zida, kiven shigiz manu leporka kaman de parke damia. No, I might have thought that since by the lechem apanim, the kmitza is separate from the rest of the carbon, because the whatever we call a carbon, the lechem itself, it's separate from the lechem itself. So I might think that even if you didn't actually do the silik vazichin yet, it was just the zman to do the silik vazichin. So I might have thought that that's considered as if it's already separated. Come ashmalah. Therefore, it comes to tell me otherwise. It comes to tell me that no, it's not considered different than a regular levona in relation to a carbon mincha, and the critical time is when you do the Siluk Vazichin, not when the Zman of Siluk Vazichin arrives. Okay, Mr. Shem will continue on Shushan Purim with the Mishnah on the bottom of Yeral from the base.